The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brother, I'm going to begin this sermon today by asking a two-part question. How important is what we say? And the second part is, how important is it how we say it? Is it important? Is it important? Because we need to understand, brethren, our speech, what we say, the words that come out of our mouth, our speech is a great indicator of what we are like on the inside. I think that those of us who are parents would probably all certainly understand and agree that we were all very happy when our children of any age, whether they're small, whether they're teenagers, whether they're young adults, or whether they're grown and have their own families and all of that, but all of us who are parents, when our children of any age, when they are honorable and wise, it makes us happy. I mean, that can be seen through some clear-headed and right speech. In other words, they're being clear-headed and how they say what they say. Also, we need to understand that this clear-headed and right speaking can be an indication of a pure and righteous heart. And no, this sermon is not about parenting, but it is going to be connected to children and how they deal with parents. And this will be quickly tied in, at least by the end of the sermon. King Solomon was a father, and he encouraged his son to go in the right direction of wisdom by telling him how much he would be pleased with his son by his son living a righteous life. Go with me to the book of Proverbs 23, and we're going to read here verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when your lips speak right things. So sons, daughters, children, again, of any age, they need to come to the realization that how important it is to their fathers and to their mothers for them to be righteous in their lives. I mean, after all, whenever you really think about this, this would be a way of honoring their parents, which is the fifth commandment. These two verses, verses 15 and 16, these two verses address the fact that a father's love, at least in an earthly human sense, is tied to his son's lifestyle. It doesn't make any difference what age the child is. Because if you're a parent and your child is a grown adult and has own children, he's still your child, or she is still your child. And so in this sermon, whenever I talk about sons and I talk about fathers, it would apply to daughters, and it certainly would apply to mothers. But the scriptures use so many times indications they use sons and fathers. But it's not limited in that way, and we need to understand that. Because you see, also, these two verses are tied together in what is called a unit or a parallelism. Now, this is somewhat biblical scholarship, and I'm not going real deep into it, because that's a Hebrew way of looking at verses, and it's a good indicator for us to take a look at it when we understand it from that point of view. So when one verse builds upon the previous verse, that's called a unit, or it's called a parallelism in Hebrew. And that's what we're going to see today through these two particular verses. So therefore, by honoring their father and their mother this way, children that do this will also receive God's blessings. So it's not something that's just positive for the parents. It's also something that's positive for the children. Now hold your place, because we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs 23. And so put a marker there and go with me now to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I told you that there would be blessings to this child who lives life in that way. And they honor their parents by how they say and what they say. I mean, this is what it's tied all into. This is what these verses are saying. This is what it's telling us. Verse 3. That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. What a promise. What a promise. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs 23. In the first part of this parallelism, the father makes a simple statement to his son. He says, if your heart is wise, then my heart will rejoice. In other words, as stated earlier, in a earthly sense or in a human sense, the joy of a father is linked to his son. Now we may think, well, he's a separate child. He's grown now. He's out on his own, has his own family, and now I have grandchildren and all of this. What do you mean it's linked to? This is what it says. I'm not making this up. This is what this verse is teaching us. And so this is a really important thing. Obviously, if this is something that the scripture is saying, then I think that we need to pay attention to what it's telling us. And this is a positive theme that Solomon mentions two other times in the book of Proverbs. So let's go to those two places. Proverbs 27 and verse 11. Proverbs 27 and verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproaches me. Now there's a much more to that verse than what we're simply focusing on here, but will suffice. My son, be wise and make my heart glad. That's the point we're talking about. And in Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. So let's go back there. Verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she that bore you shall rejoice. So, as we can see, these proverbs are entirely positive, addressing the fact that a wise son brings joy to his father and his mother. And age isn't necessarily the whole factor here, because it could be a child of any age. And of course, we should understand this implies the reverse is also true. In other words, son, if you have a foolish heart, my heart will be grieved. It works both ways, or it works either way. So do we think this is important? Yeah, I think it's important. And I think God thinks that it's important. There are other proverbs that address the joy that a wise son brings to his father. And these other proverbs, and we're going to read a couple of them here in just a moment, they also include the other side of the coin also. In other words, the joy that a foolish son brings to his parents. There's joy and there's and or grief or sorrow. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. Proverbs 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. Now, that's the topic we're talking about, but there's the other side here. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Let me show you one other one. That's in Proverbs 15 and verse 20, where it says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. This is where we would get the indication that it is not limited to a child when it says father and son. The son could be of any age. And it would hold that out in the Hebrew. There are others that you can read, like Proverbs 29, verse 3 could be used there, but I won't. And of course, what we need to see here is that these things are of the heart. Now, what do I mean by the heart? Well, in this situation, the heart refers to our inner being. It involves our mind, our emotions, and our will. And it is the whole inner man, in other words, the whole inner person that's being referred to in Scripture when it talks about my heart will do such and such. It is the inner life of a person. Therefore, what Solomon is saying is that a wise son brings joy to the whole inner life of his father and his mother. Now, I don't think most of us as parents grow up thinking that our children have this much effect on our lives. And we know that they do, but we don't know what we're not really sure why. But we see from Scripture why it is. You know, why it is true. So, we see some things. I have a couple of bullets here. The first one is a wise heart causes the father to rejoice. And the second thing that we see here from what these verses we've seen and put together is we also see that right speech also causes the father to rejoice. So these things are tied together. Okay, let's go back again to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, let's read verse 16. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when your lips speak right things. So this opening word here in verse 16 here is the word yea, and it connects this verse to the previous verse. It's connected together. It would be like our using the word therefore. You make a statement and then you say therefore. And here it's the Hebrew and it's using yea, it's a therefore. Go back and reread verse 15. My son, if your heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And so we need to understand that the Hebrew word for this word, yea, is both an agreement and an explanation. So he's telling us two separate things here. He's telling us that these two things agree with one another, and he's explaining it. The heart is this way if your heart is that way. But if your heart is this other way, then my heart is going to be grieved. And this is a father to his son, which I find very, very interesting in the context and seeing it in this particular way. And so it's obviously this ties these two verses together. It's that unit or that parallelism that I referred to. So Solomon told his son how much it would mean to him if his son would be wise in heart and right in speech. So it goes back to that two-part opening question that we use. How important is it what we say, and how important is how we say it? This is where I'm getting those two questions, is because of what Solomon's conclusion to his son is here in these two verses here. What were Solomon's reigns here in verse 16? In fact, what is any father's reigns? I would think with a lot of people, not most, but with a lot of people, probably the first thing that might come to their mind would be these leather straps that are on the side of a horse's head that are tied to the bit or bridle that the rider uses to control or to direct the horse. So is this what Solomon meant in using the word reins? And if so, how would they rejoice if his son had a wise heart and right speech? So I think that we can say, no, the Hebrew word for reins once meant the kidneys. Yeah, it was viewed as one of the major body parts, to internal parts of the body, and it controlled a lot more of the body than I think than we tend to think about today. And the statement is, it's still true, even though it's not focused on as much as it could have been if we would have learned it way back from Scripture. And so it was referring to kidneys, and then over time, reins became a metaphor indicating a man's inward desires and affections, very similar to the use of the word heart. And so they use both words from time to time. And when these two words, rein and heart, are combined together, they form what I would consider to be a very powerful metaphor for all the inward parts of a man, of a person. And so, in verse 15, Solomon first said that his heart would rejoice, which I think we understand as the place of his affection. And then in verse 16, Solomon said that his reins would rejoice, and we can understand in the same way a word indicating inward thoughts and feelings. So therefore, a wise son brings inward pleasure to both heart and reins. And so he's using it in a powerful metaphor for what it does. It just strengthens this man's being, his whole inner being, because his son is living in this particular way. The Bible uses reins only for kidneys and the inward affections and desires of a person. It's never referred to as the horse's reins, you know, these two leather straps that come down on the side, fastened to the bit or the bridle of a horse that the rider uses to control the horse. It's never used for that. Even though I think that is what a lot of people would automatically think of. So what we're seeing here is this part of the proverb builds on the first part. Verse 15 said that a father's joy is linked to his son's wisdom. And verse 16 says a father's joy is linked to the son's speech. Now maybe I didn't develop that enough, but that is what it is showing. That is what we're seeing here. Or the wisdom expressed verbally. Therefore, this Hebrew parallelism is building on the thought of the previous verse. Now, this leads us to the question, what can a son or a daughter do to cause his or her father or mother's reins that is his heart, his desires, and his affections to rejoice? What can a child do to cause his father or mother's reins to rejoice? Well, for one thing, he can speak right things. Now, we've already said this, but we're just saying it in a different way. So we're building on something here. Go with me to Proverbs 22 and verse 15, because there we are told that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. See, that's what's there. So what is indication is this is something that needs to be taught. This is something that the parents are needing to teach us. One translation states it this way. Foolishness is bound in the hearts of young men, and it often comes out through their lips. You don't get that from reading the King James unless you read the whole thing and come to it on your own. But this one just flat out states it by what he says. In other words, when a son speaks cautiously, sensibly, and wisely, then a loving and caring father is, I'm going to use this word, warmed on the inside, because he knows that his child is trying to live a right way of life and he's trying to control his tongue, which is a joyous thing, which is a wonderful thing to have. And so this is the sense that we see here. So speech can be a great indicator of what we are like on the inside. I stated that earlier. In other words, how we say what we say. Are we wise or are we foolish? And it's an indicator of what is we're like on the inside. I want us to also understand that fools give themselves away quickly by their ungoverned or their unwise and their foolish speech, what they say, their words, and that kind of thing. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. And then go down to verse 28, and it says, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. It's an indicator of what is on the inside. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. Now, that's really bright, isn't it? Well, how many times have you seen, seen this? You put it in a very modern version, and it would be saying something like, let's fight. Like, how wise is that? to get involved, and the fool says, well, let's fight over this. Well, I've been around a few people like that. You probably have too. Then verse 7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. How important is what we say, and how important is how we say it? It's an indication of what is on the inside. Ecclesiastes 10, I want to show you one more in this context. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12 and 13. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. In other words, at the very beginning, a start, first out, this is what he's implying. And the end of his talk is mischievous madness. In other words, it just doesn't quit being foolishness. It's an indication of what is on the inside. So, here's a contrast wise and foolish speech. While a fool's mouth is his destruction, a wise son's words are gracious in what he says and the words that he chooses to use. Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs 22 and verse 11. He that loves pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friends. Shall be his friend. In other words, the king is going to want to be around somebody like that. And in Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I have a couple of bullets here. Wise sons also rule their tongues, and that is an indication of great restraint and cautiousness. You can see James 3 verses 2 through 12. And the second bullet here is wise sons also speak the truth in love. That's an indication of what is on the inside of a person. Ephesians 4 verse 15 tells us, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, what it is saying is a person can grow up to become like Jesus Christ if what he speaks is the truth in love. Not foolishness, but what he speaks the truth in love. So, by using these points that we have seen, how can a father know if he has this kind of child, this kind of son? Well, he listens for wise and righteous speech. These are bullets. The second one, he listens for kind and helpful words. The next one is he listens for faithful and true testimony. In other words, what he speaks about things and other people, Jesus Christ, the truth of God, all of this, his testimony is going to be truthful. And he listens for prudent answers or wise answers from his child. Then he's going to know what is on the inside of this child. And the result is, the father with a child like this, with a son like this, wants to kiss his son. Now, we almost would frown at this in our culture today. But in biblical times, this is an attitude that I think we need to have more of in our, at least in our church environment. Because he would want to kiss his son when he hears words like this out of his son's mouth. And the child, the son, being the son of any age. Proverbs 24, verse 26 tells us, every man shall kiss his lips that gives a right answer. You see, brethren, a father knows that good speech involves a good heart. Go with me to Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. It's an indication of what the person is like on the inside. have some more bullets here. He senses the future good his son will do. Because if you have a child like this, the child, son of any age, and he speaks like this and he comes across this way, you know, you can sense a good future. The second one is sons cause fathers joy or grief. And the next one is, a wise son is a great blessing and rejoices his father. And then the last one here in this context is, and at the same time, a foolish son is a calamity and causes him much pain. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. You can also put in your notes Proverbs 17:21-25. I'm not going to read those, but I do want you to go back again to Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. We read this earlier, but it fits again here. So we need to, brethren, please, to realize that God ordained parents or fathers, and he rewards or punishes the son or the daughter depending on joy or sorrow or grief they cause their father. Now, that is something that would be almost considered to be foolish, I think, in our society. No, he's his own man. He goes out and he's not responsible for it. Yeah, it is. It all ties back. Foolish sons grieve their fathers and earn God's judgment, while at the same time, wise sons thrill their father and their mother, and they earn God's blessing. You know, why is God involved in this child's life after the child has already gone away from home? And, you know, because it ties right back. It is linked. Families are linked in a way that we don't want to think about it in our society today. It is much stronger, it's much deeper than what we would want to give credit to. Of course, moving on to another point here, of course, Jesus Christ was the perfect son. I mean, we know this, but he was subject to Joseph and to his mother, and he grew in wisdom and pleased both God and man. That's what Scripture tells us. In Luke 2:51-52. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, we can always come up and say, yeah, but that was different. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. He told us to live his way of life. He set a standard. Jesus always spoke right things, and both friends and enemies marveled at his control and his use of his speech. They didn't always agree with what he said, but they marveled at this. Let me show you a few verses here. Matthew 27:14. And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. John 7, verse 15. John 7, verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? Oh, what they did not know, or what they refused to know about who Jesus was. You know. And then go down to verse 46. It's still in John 7, verse 46. The officers answered, never man spoke like this man. These are the Romans. They marveled at the way he spoke, what he said. You can also put in there in your notes, Matthew 22, verse 22. And of course, as the result of all of this, the great God rewarded Jesus with the throne of the universe. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows, meaning above everyone else. Put also in your notes Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. But we do want to read one verse. We want to read Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's the standard. He's the example. And he always did it right. And and people will want to come back and say, well, yeah, that's because, you know, he had been God and he was now man. Well, he was man. That is the point. He was man. We are man, male or female, but we're man. And so was he. So, brethren, with what we have seen so far, I have what I would consider an important question for us to consider. Is what comes out of our mouth really connected to what is in our heart? I mean, I've been saying it, but is it true? Matthew 15 and verse 18. Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So the answer is, of course, what comes out of a person's mouth is connected to what is in his heart. Because our speech, what we say and how we say it, is an indication of what is within the person. So putting these two points of Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16 together, meaning the Father rejoices when he sees the inward integrity of heart being made known, being made manifest as outward integrity of life, causing the Father to rejoice. It's the Father is seeing what's on the inside of his child that causes him to rejoice. The way he sees it is because of how he talks, what he says. Therefore, every one of us need to realize that, of course, there is an important and real application to our relationship to our Heavenly Father in all of this. It's sort of like I told you all of this to tell you this. What we're describing is the way God looks at us. What is in within us? He knows. just like the human father can tell, and he rejoices and he wants to kiss the child because he's speaking these wise words because he's living the way of life of God. You don't think God wants to do those same things? That's exactly what this is talking about. So yeah, it is a very clear, very powerful indication of how God looks at us with what we say and how we say it. So with that in mind, I want us to think about some, I've labeled it here as thought-provoking questions. I have them as questions and I have them as bullets. You know, this is just one right after the other. How much does God rejoice when our heart is full of His wisdom? We've seen an indication of how human fathers do, because Solomon was the example. How much more so would God do that? The next one is, how much rejoicing does God do when He sees spiritual wisdom and discernment practice in the lives of His children? How much joy do we bring to our Father in heaven when we study Proverbs and the rest of the books of the Bible and apply them to our lives? This gets back to this thing of prayer, Bible study, fasting, meditation, all of those things. The next one is, how much joy do we bring to God when we speak right things? How much joy do we bring to God when our mouths are filled with His words? How much joy do we bring to God when our mouths are used in sharing His truth with others? How much joy do we bring to God when our mouths are used to teach His word or to encourage others to follow God's way of life? Oh, that's not my job. That's the minister's responsibility. Not limited to the ministry. None of these questions are. So, as we can see, we can bring joy to our human fathers and to our heavenly Father in some very simple ways. Simple ways like storing wisdom in our hearts and speaking wisdom with our mouths. This is what this proverb we focused on today is telling us. We bring joy to our human fathers when we are of any age as the child. And by doing so, we're also bringing joy to our human or to our heavenly Father when we do that. When we have stored His wisdom in our hearts and words come out from inside of us that are right, true words of God. Many of you will recognize this. I have a two-part question that I have stated and I have taught, I would have to say, for many years. I also think that it is one of those questions that we need to ask of our Father and our God often. The two-part question is, Father, are you happy? And are you happy with me? Therefore, we need to realize that having His wisdom in our heart and having His words in our mouth are important steps in receiving His answer of yes. Yes, I am happy with you. Are we using, speaking wise words of God. It's an indication of what is on the inside. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, brethren. God bless each one of you with wise speaking.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.